Thanks for all these questions. Time is running out, so I will try to be very brief. I will start with the last one. Lack of means is not is simply not an answer because of the three dimensions that Yves referred to of any human rights obligation: the respect, protect, and fulfill. States can argue on the fact that they don't have enough financial means if we are discussing about the obligations to fulfill the access to safe drinking water. But in the field right now, at country levels, the biggest problems are already at the level of the respect obligations and the protect obligations. What I could give you as concrete examples is the case, for example, of Paraguay, where you have large soy plantations that are built, and the local communities simply just have their traditional wells. And these new large agriculture infrastructure projects use pesticides and fertilizers. And of course, the local community drinks these pesticides and fertilizers. And this can be directly interpreted as a violation of the obligation to respect the right to water of the local population by the state, because in that case, it's a state company. So in the case where it's not the state company, it's the obligation to protect by the state. And that doesn't cost a dime to the state to say, no, I don't grant this working permit to this company, or I grant this working permit, but it is not entitled to use these fertilizers and these pesticides. So these are the sort of little things that you can already expect and recommend and ask as a recommendation in the UPR process. And close to Mauritania, you have, of course, Niger and the whole uranium extraction. So there is a lot to be done already without any financial expectation from the state to say, you have a role to play to prevent and say to these companies, you have to respect these standards, you have to stop polluting, you have to make sure that these companies at least pay for the purification systems of the local population. And with that, the case of Yemen, that's the sort of reality I'm very humble about, because in your country it is very, very difficult. And even if there were lovely recommendations made to the government, does the government have actually the capacity to implement these recommendations, given? So this is where, in such situations, I rather focus on development partners, because the UPR process is a unique opportunity also to bring the attention to the obligation of the state. Of course, it's always the state, to protect the local populations. But then, by saying in the UPR setting that it's the violation of that the state does not protect enough the population from violations, and then you list of foreign companies, and then you can list all the stakeholders that have a negative impact in these fragile states. And I hope you apologize me for calling Yemen a fragile state, but this is. But in such situations, the great opportunity there is that you have a forum where the countries, where these companies, for example, are based. And so that's for those who are passionate about business and human rights. It's fantastic, because it calls also indirectly the attention to the lack of interest from these other countries, and often Western countries, to properly regulate the behavior of their countries abroad.